Yeah, so we're going to start with our music. We call it worship, but we also, this is a time of this connection between us and you, Jesus. So whatever posture you want to take, and just mind your neighbor, although, again, we have ample space this morning.
Thank you. With one voice we sing and worship and wonder. And you alone are unlike any other. Hear our praises as we welcome you together. Jesus. You refine a true and firm foundation. There's no need to fear, no need for hesitation. There's a name that echoes over all creation. Jesus.
Lift Him high above the head, over every situation. We sing your name with expectation, for the God of our salvation is among us. Sing Jesus.
Even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. I feel when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I
trouble, but until that day comes,
We just thank you, Jesus, for this time that we can be in this place where maybe today it's so challenging for even for you to sing, "You never let go of me." that maybe we want to turn and we want to run. Maybe we think right now we're not good enough. Maybe right now we think that there's a place this week where we just said, you know, Jesus, you couldn't love somebody like me. And he said, through the calm and through the storm, I will never let go of you. Going to continue on in this amazing moment right now with our offering. Maggie, yes, you do. We need the people in the on the platform here. Thank you.
I had a vision. When you have a vision from the Lord, you don't know if it is happening or it's a vision. So I had this vision when I'm walking on the shore, on a, like an island. And I am so despondent. But I see a man sitting away from me, like in the shade. And he's like sitting down on the soil. So I walk towards him, and I sit by him, and I go like, ah, you know the feeling, like, man, ah. Then the man put his hand on the back of my head, and touch my back and my back back and forth. Then he said, when will you stop looking for the love that only I can give you? When are you gonna stop looking for love in men that only I can give you? Yes, we love each other to an extent, but only Jesus can totally accept you and fill you up. No man can do that. No woman can do that. So we accept one another. We are limited. We are humans. But only Jesus loves us deeply and for eternity.
God is a God that fights our battles. We do not have to fight them at all. I've learned that in this season, I have to rest. I have to trust. I have to know that God is my God, and He stands firm in my battles. I don't do it. I'm not doing this war. This is His battle, and He's dealing with the enemy on my behalf.
Guys, I just have something. It's really personal, and I know that this church will pray for the people that I'm talking about. The Lorraine police officers that got killed, the one that got killed and the two that got injured, I'm hoping that our church comes together and prays for this family. They lost a father. They lost an officer. They lost someone that cared about his community and wanted to do something. And I think now the Lord has taken over that situation. He's taking care of the wife and the children that were left behind from the officer that was murdered.
Okay, Andrew, we'll pray, okay?
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Andrew, there we go. We just lift up Jesus. We lift up that tragedy right now. And we know that your hand is in it. We know that each thing that happens around this world and the tragedies, the challenges, and the things that just we can't have answers for. But we do have the one answer, and that's to give it to you. So we ask Jesus for your mercy on just this family, your grace with them, and just pour out your love so that they feel your peace and your comfort. And for everything that each person here may be challenged with, maybe you've had the best week of your life. Jesus, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for that. And bless our offering today, Jesus. We just thank you for this time, for the gifts, for the prayers. And let us be amazing stewards with everything that's been given so we can reach not only this corporate community, but the surrounding community and become the salt of the earth and the light. In your name we pray. Amen.
Wow. Wow. Come, Jesus. Come. More. Well, good morning, church. Wow. Presence. Praise God. Right? What? Right? Ooh. Hard one. One more time. Right? Praise God. Okay. I'll think about that. Good morning again, and thanks for joining us, both here in person and online. Our service is streaming live on Facebook. It is so wonderful to see all your beautiful faces. Again, I don't have my readers, so we're going to muddle through this. Sermon series, The Building Blocks of Belief. Pastor Didi Warning, there you go, continues the series today. Be ready. With We Believe in the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Grab a Bible, device, or check your bulletin to follow along. Vineyard Food Services Center is open this week, Monday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Food box preparation, then Tuesday setup and prep work, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with food distribution and cleanup, 4 to 7 p.m. Come help us out and be blessed. Who has been to the food pantry? Who works with the food pantry? Oh, no. Monday. No pantry Monday? No box prep. Okay. No box prep. Okay. Is this produce week? I thought so. I was like, okay. Maybe it was me. Anyhow, but we do need you to come and help, and we need cleanup. Just talk to the queens of cleanup, Anne-Marie and myself, and we'll get you together. Anyway, we love it. You will be blessed. It's so amazing the people that come through and say thank you, and some people for the first time, and they're just so blessed. So thanks to all who come and serve. Grief Share is for anyone who has experienced the death of a family member or friend is invited to attend our next Grief Share series. The session runs for 13 weeks, starting Friday, August the 15th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. here at the Vineyard Church. This is a grief support group that focuses on helping people who are dealing with a loved one's death. Each person receives a participant guide with valuable exercises, journaling tools, and articles for dealing with the daily challenges of grief. Please sign up in the lobby so we can know what supplies to order. Contact Dave Peretti. Dave Peretti, raise your hand back there. That's Dave Peretti, okay. Or at, can't read it here. Peretti, what is it, DK? DK Peretti at yahoo.com. Our new sermon series is on the book of Joshua, The Faithfulness of God. This will be starting August 17th. Scott, come on up, please.
Good morning, church. We always do a fall book study in conjunction with our small groups and everything. That usually starts near the end of September and goes through October and sometimes into November. Things are a little different this year because of the change of leadership in the church. And so we chose this study, which is about Joshua from the book of Joshua. Joshua followed the greatest leader that the Israelites ever had, who was Moses. And that transition, we think, is something that we can learn much from. And so we will be looking at the book of Joshua, the faithfulness of God, faithful to reveal, faithful to redeem, faithful to lead, faithful to deliver, faithful to renew, faithful to establish, and faithful to his promise. That's the themes throughout those weeks. So we hope two things. One is that you'll be here for the sermon series, which starts next week and runs for 7 weeks. And secondly, and maybe more importantly, or at least as important, that you will be part of a small group, and that as you spend some in-depth time looking at the book of Joshua, you'll be praying for our church during the transition, and that you'll learn much from the Word of God. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Scott. How many people like picnics? Yes, okay, a few. And the rest of you that didn't say anything, you're lying. So don't lie. You're in church. Don't lie. VCC All Church Picnic next Sunday from 11:30 to 3:30. It will be at Daniels Park, 38401 Johnny Cake Ridge Road in Willoughby, Ohio. All are welcome. Bring something to grill and something to share. Connect with Anna Marie, that queen back there of cleaning, anyway, for details. Come to be baptized. We are planning an outdoor baptism on that same day at Daniels Park, same address, same place, before our picnic. Interested? Please talk to Marvin Gray. He's with the young people. And or any church staff, if you would like to participate, bring a change of clothes because you're going to be wet afterwards. And I don't think you want to, you might, I don't know, something like that. But anyway, y'all know what I like to do, right? All right, so we have 90 seconds, okay? It's going to be counted down. 90 seconds to get up out of your seat and say hello to somebody you didn't come with. All right, ready? Let's go. Come on, y'all, get up. Get up, get up, get up, get up.
Hello. Hello. Okay, everybody, find your way back to your seats, please. They turned that off already.
All right.
They.
Let's go. And now, Pastor Nick.
Good morning. Good morning. Find your seats. Wow, is that light bright? Good morning. So, that was quite a worship session, huh? That was pretty powerful. If you don't feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room, we need to talk. If you can't feel His presence, the thickness of the Spirit in this room right now, we need to talk. It's powerful and it's heavy. It is a beautiful gift. So good morning again. For anyone who might be new here, it's bright light. I can barely tell, but I don't think there's any new people. I'm Denise DeWarning. I'm one of the staff pastors here at the Vineyard. I am proud to say I'm married to Jim, who's also a pastor here at the church. I have two beautiful children, Troy and Kaylee, and two wonderful bonus children, Haley and Zane. My favorite title at the moment is Mimi to Oliver Timothy, and soon in January to our granddaughter, whatever her name may be. And Lord willing, many more grandchildren. It is an honor to be here today. And as the weeks keep ticking by, I know that it's going to be more and more. Jim and I are going to be up here more and more, and it's exciting and it's scary all at the same time. Let's pray. Well, Father God, we just thank you so much. We thank you for the presence in this space today. We thank you, Father God, for just the release of an immense amount of the Holy Spirit hovering in this place, the thickness that we get to just bathe in and be consumed by today. Father God, I pray that your words come through me in the way that you put them in my heart. I pray, Father God, that you're preparing the hearts of the people here and those online to receive whatever piece of this message that's for them. We just thank you so much, Father, that you count us worthy to be part of your kingdom, that you count us daughters and sons. We thank you so much for that awesome privilege, Lord. Just come and bless us today and bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I get the honor of closing out this series on the building blocks of belief. The building blocks have been stacked for us. On the next screen, I think. It's a collection of beliefs, core beliefs that we have here. Of course, it's not every core belief, but it's just some really powerful core beliefs that we felt needed to be reiterated to remind you of who we are and what we believe here. We believe in God the Father, the creator of everything, the one that started it all, right? We believe in Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God, who was born to die for our sins, past, present, and future. The one that walked on this earth preaching and teaching and modeling true love before ascending back into heaven. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the gift that Jesus left for us. He said, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you alone. And he left that power and presence of the Holy Spirit here for us as a gift. We also believe in the forgiveness of sins. And it's not by anything that we've done or not done or can do or can earn, but because God says so. He has the power to forgive no matter what sins we may have committed, no matter what stuff we carry. He and only he has the power to come and forgive us and cleanse us and make us clean. And we believe in everlasting life. We believe that no matter what, when we leave this earth or while we're here, we always have God with us. That even when we die, we're not here, we will live with him for eternity. And then today we're going to move on to the Great Commission. We believe that it's our job to do the stuff that God's doing. It's our job to continue on with Jesus' mission. And that's through the Great Commission. The foundation has been laid. The restoration has been provided. The promises have been made. Now let's go and do what he's called us to do. Making disciples is a result of those gifts. We need to believe all those things before we are able to understand what it means to make disciples and what the call is to make disciples. It's the gateway to save lives to a better world. Sharing and teaching about God is the way that we open our hearts and minds to the beauty of who he is and what he has done. And let me not forget to say this. It is important when we're sharing the word that we not only talk about what he did to us, but what he did for us is more important. He did what he did for us, the sacrifices that he made for us, allowed him to do those things to us and allows us to be representations of the sacrifice and the suffering that Jesus went through for us. I think it's so cool that we get to play, don't you? We get to play. He has counted us to be part of this sandbox so that we get to play. So how do we get to play? The Great Commission. Our key scripture today is found in the book, end of the book of Matthew. The 28th chapter of Matthew starts off with Jesus had died and he had risen, and the women came and they found the tomb was empty. And they were like, what happened? And then Jesus ended up revealing himself to them and said, go get my disciples and tell them to meet me. I got to talk to them. This is where the go part happens. This is where Jesus says, hey guys, I was here, I showed you, I did the stuff, I fulfilled the promises that I put before you that my Father said was going to happen. I fulfilled all that. Now it's your turn to go. Now it's your turn to do. So the scripture reads, I'm going just to the Great Commission part then, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age." So again, like I said, Jesus gave this command just before that he ascended into heaven. And it clearly states that he expects his followers to do what he did. He expects the lineage from that point forward, everyone that he discipled, to learn to disciple, who disciples, like the Pert commercial, and so on, and so on, and so on. And guess what? It comes to us here and now. We are part of that lineage. We are called to do what Jesus told his disciples just before he ascended back into heaven. I learned that in the original Greek, the only real command in there was to make disciples in that scripture. The Great Commission instructs us to make disciples while we're going through the world. The instructions to go, baptize, and teach are indirect commands or participles. There's an English thing I haven't talked about in a long time. So what he's calling us to is make disciples. The go and the baptize and the teach are all the products of the how. How do we do that? How do we make disciples? Part of what we do once we start the beginning part is we baptize them and we teach them. And that's the primary commission, going. Go make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity which we believe in. And then teach them how to follow Jesus. So what does the word go mean to you? Got my go slide. Go. Do we have it? There's a go slide. It's got all kinds of words on it. The big word, go. Go. There we go. Go. What does go mean? Go means set out, depart, make one's way, advance, move, walk, travel. They're all action words, right? He's calling us to action. It's in our going that we experience his power and presence. Just sitting, we could. If you were just sitting here and did not participate in worship this morning, I'm sure you could have definitely felt the presence of the Holy Spirit because he was so strong. But let me tell you, the going is where you really feel it, is where you can really feel his power and his presence. Just like love is only love until you give it away, and then it's so much bigger. The Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't you want everybody to experience what we experienced today? Wouldn't you want everyone to feel the passion and the love of Jesus flowing over us and caring for us like we did today here? That's in the going. We have to share that. We have to talk about that. His presence and power are felt and noticed when we risk and we go out and do what he's told us to do. Trusting that he is in control and will guide and direct us, and knowing and believing that whatever he imparts in us, that's, we got to trust that. And we got to know that we know that it's true and it's right and it's the direction in which we're supposed to go. Jesus is telling us to go and make disciples, but what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who receives instruction from another person. A Christian disciple is baptized, a baptized follower of Christ, one who believes the teachings of Christ. A disciple of Christ imitates Jesus' example and clings to his sacrifice and believes in his resurrection and possesses the Holy Spirit and loves to do his work. The command in the Great Commission is to go make disciples. It means to teach and to train. Now, if you read something more than once in the Word, you really should pay attention. And in every one of the Gospels and in Acts, leads us to this Great Commission. Luke. Luke is first. We'll turn to the book of Luke. Luke 24, 44. He said to them, What I told you while I was still here with you, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them that this was written, and the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And then we have it in Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then again, in John. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After this, he showed him his hands and his sides, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. These are all different ways, different interpretations of what Jesus said, depending on who the disciple was that was writing the book, right? But they all say the same thing. It's not hidden in the Word. It's there. And if you read the Word, you'll see it over and over again in the Gospels. And then we get into Acts. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Great Commission is noted, as noted in Acts, is about going and moving with the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift that Jesus gave for us when he ascended to heaven. We are called to be his witness, fulfilling the Great Commission in our cities, in Jerusalem, in Willowick, in Wycliffe, in Solon, in Cleveland, in our states and our countries, in Judea and Samaria, in Ohio and Florida and Brazil and India, and anywhere that God sends us, to the ends of the earth. That means your workplace, your families, in the park, in the stores, to the ends of the earth means everywhere, even in a restaurant. I have a friend, her name is Vicki Fisher. She is a pastor. And we were at Red Robin one day, and Jim and Chris and Vicki and I, we were all sitting there talking. All of a sudden, we noticed Vicki was missing. We found her sitting in a corner talking to this beautiful young woman who was pregnant. And she was just telling her about Jesus. She didn't know this woman, but she just took risk because she knows that her call in life is to talk about Jesus. Her call in life is, it doesn't matter where she's at, to make sure that people know Jesus. She's not afraid. And every time she shares the gospel message, it's because she's doing it in obedience to the call in the Great Commission. God put you in your neighborhood, in the very place that you are. He put you where you are with the help of the Holy Spirit so that you could reach unbelievers. No person in this room has the same story. No person in this room has the same aspect of their lives that they walk through every day. They don't work in the same place. They don't have the same families. They don't have the same friends. They don't go to the same stores at the same time. God specifically chose each and every one of you individually in the place that you're at and put this call on your life. He put you in a place where you are with the help of the Holy Spirit so you can reach unbelievers. where you can have common ground with others because of your unique situation. How many times have you walked and talked with someone and you're like, hey, man, I can relate. And it brings this bond or this connection with you that opens the door for you to be more real about who Jesus is. You have a unique story, your experiences, your hurts, your successes. They all make you you. Do you trust God enough to go and do what he's called you to do with that? To take your life experiences, to take all of who you are and just put it out there and say, you know what? There's someone out there that God wants me to talk to. There's someone out there that God wants me to speak the truth to. There's someone out there that needs to see me walk through a tough situation and still love God in the midst of it. Throughout the book of Acts, we see that the apostles began to fulfill the Great Commission. First, Jerusalem is evangelized. Then the Spirit expands the church to Judea and Samaria. And finally, the gospel reaches into the ends of the earth. Today, we continue to act as ambassadors for Christ. You are all ambassadors for Christ. Believe that. And we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Oh, no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, you never let go. In the highs and the lows, never does he let go. Never. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. I want every person that I see to have a heart that will hold on. In order to do that, they have to believe in who he is. There's nothing to hold on to if they don't know what they're to look forward to, right? God loves people. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he wants you, each and every one of you, each and every one of us, to reach the masses. It's our job. It's our commission to do that. We have received a precious gift, the faith that once for all entrusts to God's holy people from Jude 1:3. Jesus' words in the Great Commission reveal the heart of God. Do you understand the heart of God? All people should be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, 1 Timothy 2:4. The Great Commission compels us to share the good news until everyone has heard it. I'll bet there are people that you work with or people you see in the store, wherever you go, that have a backpack full of stuff they're carrying with them. And sometimes you can see their backpack and other times you can't see their backpack. But we all have a backpack of stuff because we are all fallen, broken people. Take risk. Go out and talk to them about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, the sacrifice that he did for you, for us, so that we can walk today, so that we can sing and praise like we did today, so that we can feel the power and presence of the Holy Spirit like we did today. Don't you want to share that with all people? One of the things that's said in the scripture is, you know, once you learn, you go out, you reach them, and then there's a commandment to baptize. I don't know how many of you in here have been baptized. There may be people who have never been baptized. I was baptized as a baby. It meant nothing to me. I was too young. I didn't know anything. But as an adult, when I got baptized, it was an amazing experience for me. Why do we baptize? Because Jesus, the one that all authority was given to, commands us to do that. It's part of what he commands us to do. And it is a huge, huge blessing for those that receive it. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." A Christian baptism has deep significance. Baptism here at the Vineyard, we do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just like it said in the Bible. Isn't that cool? Because that's what we're supposed to do, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging the full Trinity that we believe in. When we are saved, we're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, which is the universal church. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, "We were all baptized by one Spirit so that to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." Baptism by water is normally meant by the term Christian baptism is a reenactment of the first baptism of being baptized in the Spirit. We believe when we baptize, it's a public affirmation, a public way to show that you believe in Jesus. It's also a public way to show, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to walk in that, to walk in what he's given me. When I got baptized, it was a little traumatic at first because Brent told some jokes about how long he was going to keep me submerged. Do you remember that? I remember that. Not fondly, but I remember that. But I've forgiven him. It was a joke. So I was in the baptismal back here, and he's like, well, I don't know, how long should we hold her under? I don't like water in my face. And if there's anything close, I'm holding my nose cold. I was just so tense. Like, oh, please, 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 I can do this. I want to do this. And Brent put me down. And when I came up, I literally felt like he was going to shoot me out that other door. That's how light I felt. And I got overcome with emotion. And it wasn't because I was scared or anything. It was because I was overcome with the lightness. I was overcome with the exact thing that I prayed would happened. I went down with all this weight and this heaviness and the sin and the crap that I was carrying for so long. And when I came up, it was all left down there. I was free of it. I was cleansed. I was clean. I was light. That's why it felt like I was going to fly out the other side. It was so emotional for me because I really felt that. I believed that that could happen, and it did. And I know that doesn't happen for everybody, but it can. It can happen for you if you believe that's how baptism should be, because that's what it should be. It should be symbolizing going down and being dead and leave all that sin and crap down there and then come up and be clean and fresh and have a fresh new start. That's what we want for everyone. We want everyone to be able to feel that. It doesn't have to be as dramatic, but that's what we want you to be able to feel. That you can lose all that stuff you've been carrying in your backpack. You can lose all those stupid thoughts in your head. You can lose all that stuff that God's never meant for you to carry anyway. And you could leave it down there in the bottom of the water. And you can come up refreshed and renewed. Being submerged in water represents death to sin. And emerging from water represents being cleansed. A holy life that follows salvation. Coincidentally, you notice we are doing baptisms next week. Going to have service here, and then we're going to leave here and go to Daniel's Park for our picnic, and at the park, we're going to be doing baptisms. While preparing this message, I felt very strongly that there may be people who have been baptized before, but need a refresher. They've picked up some stuff and put it back on, and they're carrying it and holding it again. And God's saying, I want to clean you off again. I want to make you clean again. I want to take all those things back that you took, and I want to just let them fall off of you. If that's you, think about baptism next week. There may be people here who have never been baptized. For whatever reason, your prerogative, but let me tell you, there's going to be water next week. There's going to be lots of water. I think you should take risk and get dunked. I got a couple pictures up here. This is Jocelyn and Drake and Marvin. That's when Drake, one of our youth, got baptized. The other picture is Kaylee's best friend, Annie, when she got baptized in college. They both reacted very differently. Drake was really stoic when he first came up and didn't say much, and then he just kind of chilled. Annie was like, whoa! Every experience is different. But the fact that they both went down and came up new and refreshed is the most powerful part of that. It would be awesome to welcome anybody into our community as a new baptized Christian. someone who wants to be fresh and clean and start fresh. Don't you want to wake up every day and start fresh? Our mercies are new every morning. God gives us freshness every day if we take the time to put our hands out and receive it. Why not start afresh next week? Why not say, as of next week, you know what? Here I go. I'm going to make a vow. I'm going to say, God, I'm coming back. I'm going to let that stuff go, and I'm going to trust you. And be baptized and cleansed of all the stuff that you carry. And just let him wash it all away and clean you from the inside out. When you get baptized, it's a symbol of the cleansing that happens on the inside. It's an outward expression of saying, yes, I receive you and I receive your cleansing. In Acts 8, Philip speaks. He says the good news about he speaks about the good news of Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. You recall that story? As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Hey, look, there's some water. What can stand me from being baptized? What can stand in the way?" Right away, they stopped the chariot, and Philip baptized him. What? He just heard the good news, and then he wanted to be baptized right away. Why wait? Why wait? So we're to go and make disciples. We're to go out there and we're to baptize when they've received Jesus and they've honored who he is. They get baptized. And then it doesn't stop there. You can't just let them flail. There's a teaching aspect now. The teaching part of the Great Commission is not a one and done thing. It's not, well, we told you this stuff, now go. It's to join with them, to surround them, to support them, to love them. It's developing an ongoing relationship which opens up opportunity to guide others in the understanding of Jesus' commands. I don't understand everything still. I still have to learn every day. I still learn new things every time I open the book. It's our job to help others, to encourage them, to bring them to church on Sunday, to encourage them into a small group, to have whatever kind of fellowship that you can. It's our job to teach and give them opportunities. If we don't feel qualified as a teacher, give them opportunities to be taught. Encourage them. Come alongside them. Teaching involves guiding others into the Word of God and helping them understand His teachings, practicing what we believe to be true. Encouraging them, like I said, to come on Sunday mornings and small groups and whatever outlet, wherever they feel comfortable. That's the coolest thing. Like, sometimes people go, oh, this church is better or this church. You know what? Wherever you learn about the Word of God, wherever you can connect, I believe that's why there's so many different avenues for you to go to. Find whatever it is to learn about the truth of who Jesus is, the truth of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the truth of what he calls us to. Whatever arena that is that is comfortable, find it and don't run away from it. Learn. Open your ears and your eyes to hear the things that he has for you. The ultimate goal is for new believers to learn the Word of God so they can thrive, so that they can grow into mature followers of Jesus and eventually turn around and give it away. So it's a process. Modeling to others the joy that they can feel being part of the family of God is modeling it is like the ultimate thing. When you model what you believe, when you show people what you believe, when you walk it out, and even sometimes when you walk it out not so great, but you recover, sometimes that even speaks clearer to them. Wow. See, they didn't do it right the first time, and they needed a little time, and they needed, I can do that. We reap the benefits of a relationship with him the more we do the stuff that he's called us to do. Being part of the body of Christ means that we all work and grow together. We are one body made up of many parts. I can't do all this myself. Brent can't do all this himself. Maggie can't do all this herself. But together, as a body, as we come together and we walk out what Jesus tells us to do, together we support each other. Together we encourage each other. Together we love each other and give each other the opportunity to learn and grow. and that's teaching with words and actions. Jesus' words in Matthew 28:20 conclude with a promise, "And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age." Never going to leave you. I'm always going to be with you. Jesus guides and empowers us to teach others. Therefore, teaching is part of a larger mission of preparing believers for the return of Christ. I want to be ready when he comes. I assume you want to be ready when he comes. Don't you want everyone to be ready when he comes so that we can all go together? So that we can all experience life everlasting. We can experience living with him forever and an eternity with Christ. He is coming again. John encourages believers, "And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from the hint of shame in his coming." Teaching others to observe all Jesus commanded us is part of abiding in him, ensuring believers were ready to meet him when he returns. So my question is, are we ready to walk this out? Are we ready to say, okay, today's a new day. Today's a new day. And obey the Great Commission, which is the command that Jesus gave us to go and make disciples. How? By going out and talking to them, by sharing his word, by baptizing and by teaching and taking these people and these disciples and building them up and encouraging them so that they could do the same with someone else, who'll do the same with someone else, who'll do the same with someone else, until the entire world can hear about Jesus. I know some of you may be thinking some interesting thoughts about if you're qualified to do this. You know, you understand the call, but who am I? Who am I to walk this out? I feel like I need to learn so much more. I need to grow so much more. Some of you feel less than qualified to do this. And maybe it's time for you to go back to the beginning yourself. Maybe it's time for you to go back and remember who you are in Christ. Remember that someone made space for you. Someone came alongside you. Someone encouraged you. You don't have to be perfect before God accepts you into his family. Thank God for that, because we are all broken and imperfect. And I heard something that Alistair Begg said. It was just kind of cool. It caught my attention. I have a slide up here. It says, "Although we are bent, crooked, messed up, and apparently unfixable," can any of you relate to any of those things? "The good news is that despite our rejection of God and our rebellion against his commands or our disinterest in his authority and so on, he loves us with a pursuing passion. Despite all that stuff, despite how we feel about ourselves, despite the fact that we sometimes put God on a shelf sometimes, or we go, well, yeah, I'm going to do that, but let me do it my way. Or we say, no, maybe this way is better, God. Despite all of that, he still loves us with a pursuing passion. He comes to us and he speaks to us because God loves saving people so much, he unleashed his church to be about the business of doing that very thing. He unleashed you to be about his business. He said, come, let's nurture, let's grow, let's learn together, and then unleash you. Because he loves you that much, and he loves everybody else outside those doors. Outside those doors back there is your mission field. As soon as you walk out those doors, it is your mission field. To the kids, to the youth, to maybe new people who got as far as the coffee area and didn't want to come in. To the people sitting out there because they feel unworthy to be in the sanctuary for some reason. Once you walk out those doors, that's your mission field. Are you ready to be about the business of what God is doing? And let's do that. Let's be about his business. You want to be about God's business? Whew. I don't hear nothing. Do you want to be about the business of what God is doing? Do you want to join and partner with him and be about his business? Okay. That's what I want to hear. The presence that was in this sanctuary during worship, that's the excitement I'd like to hear this with. We all want to be about the business of what he's doing. Can you imagine what this place would look like if each and every one of you invited just one person to church? I mean, it's definitely filled up since Jim started this morning, but there's plenty of seats left. If each of you just took risk and invited one person to church so that they could hear, maybe you're not the one that's going to teach them about God, but maybe they'll hear something Brent says, or Scott, or Jackie, or Jim, or myself, or whoever. Maybe they'll walk into someone in the lobby and they'll connect with them. Take risk. Just one person. Just invite one person to come and experience. Invite one person to come to your Bible study and watch how God can change them. Watch how God can minister to their hearts. We all want to work together. I'm not asking you to go out and do this all by yourself. You've got the body here to support you. It's not something you have to do alone. Let's be about the business of doing what God is doing. I feel like there are people here that definitely need that refresher. There are people here that definitely needed God to say something to them today. I feel like when we move into ministry time, I want you to take a minute and just think about it and come up. Maybe if you're not even sure what it is that God has for you, you're not even sure what that nudge that you're feeling or that prick that you're feeling in your heart or your soul today. Even if you don't know what it is, come up and let God reveal it to you. Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth. He was given all authority and he said, go. He said, don't sit in that chair and wait for someone to come to you. He said, but go and do the things. The disciples got to watch him minister to people, got to watch healings, got to participate in healings. All that stuff still happens today. God is here. His spirit is here. The power is here. We possess that. When we say yes to Jesus, let your Holy Spirit fill me, he's here. And you have the ability to do those things. We as a church coming together, loving on each other, creating an environment where we could grow together, joining in small groups or in little groups, whatever it looks like to support each other. That's how we grow, people. That's how we grow together. We are a family. We are one body made up of many parts. Jackie looks different than I and possesses different skills and talents than I do. Phil possesses different skills and talents. Peter possesses different skills and talents. Troy, we all look different and we are all made uniquely and wonderfully made in the image of God. And we all have something to offer to this commission. We all have something to offer to this process. We all have something to offer to this body. That's what makes us who we are, because we are all different, because we all have something else to bring. Let's join together and walk in that which Christ has commanded us to do. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. So why? So that they can teach others and they could go disciple others. And Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. He's never going to leave. I feel like, Father God, I just ask that you will continue to do the work that you've done here already today. Through worship, Lord God, your presence and your power were so strong and so heavy, Lord. I just pray, Father God, you continue to do that. I pray, Father God, that each and every person that is in this building and online today, that each and every person can feel an immense indwelling of the Holy Spirit in them, that they can feel the warmth and the power of the Holy Spirit in them, Lord. Father, you impart that in us. You give that to us as a free gift. And I pray, Father God, that you just more. I pray, Father God, more. I pray that you bring the heat so heavy, Lord God, that there's no turning back. That we can feel him, we can sense the Holy Spirit, and we know we need to operate in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father God, come and open our hearts and open our minds to learn more about you, learn the things that we need to learn, Lord God. We're all still learning something, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you open our hearts and minds to receive all that you're still teaching us. Let us learn more. Let us make room. Take whatever it is that is not meant to be there, Lord, to clutter up space. Remove that and just let us open up space to receive more of you. Let us see ourselves new again. Let us remember who we were when we first said we loved you, Lord. Refresh us. Refresh us. Bring a cleansing over us, Lord God. This world is so hard and so rough and so treacherous to get through sometimes, Lord, but you are bigger than all of it. And I just pray, Father God, that your spirit just comes so strong that we remember that there's nothing that this world can tell us or put us through that you can't heal, that you can't bring peace and joy through it, Lord. I pray that your joy and your peace impart each and every person here and online. An immense amount of your joy and peace be imparted to each and every person, Lord. Just come, Father God, just that wave that we sang about. It's like a crashing wave coming over me, Lord Jesus. Just let your wave of goodness and love and mercy and peace flow over everyone today, Lord God. Let us be knocked over by the impact of the wave that you have for us, Lord. That is your Holy Spirit coming and just flushing through us, Lord. Father God, prepare hearts for whatever it is that you're calling them to next, Lord. And I pray, Father God, if there's anyone here or anyone online that is in a place where there's that prick, that you will just give them just give them the courage to just say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it. And just trust you, Lord. You're with us. You're never going to leave us. And you want us to continue on the mission that you started while you were here on this earth. Over 2,000 years ago it started, and it's still continuing today. It's still continuing today. And we want to be part of that, Lord. Help us. Give us the deep down desire to be more part of that, to walk this out, to go and to search and to love and to share what you did for us, the sacrifice you made for us, which allowed the stuff to be done to us and in us, Lord. Give us boldness, Lord God, to walk this out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we have people that want to pray with you. I just pray that if you have any inkling or urge to be prayed for, don't even know what, you just come forward and just let someone pray for you. Let them just speak the words of God, truth through to you. I pray that you'll have a blessed week. For those of you who are not going to participate in prayer, please do not forget about next week. Next week has the ability to be a major impact for this church. Are coming to church, learning about the Word, studying the Word, and then going and having our fellowship and baptism. What a great week that's going to be. I encourage you to come and maybe even bring a friend. Bring a friend with you. Who knows? Maybe that's what they need to see. Maybe they need to see the community at work, and they need to see how powerful God is. Bless you all.